Father of mercy, like the prodigal children, we return to you and say, we have sinned against you and are no longer worthy to be called your children. Christ Jesus, Savior of the world, we pray with the repentant thief to whom you promised paradise, Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Holy Spirit, fountain of love, we call on you with trust. Purify our hearts and help us to walk as children of light, as children of God. We ask this through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus, we are again here this morning on this feast of Christ the King. Let his kingdom come. We pray this in every Our Father, let his kingdom, let your kingdom come and your will be done. When I was a boy, my mother told me a story. Thanks be to God, my parents are still alive. And this is the story about the Holy Family. You know, in the Gospel, if you read the infancy narrative, you see that the Holy Family, every year, went to Jerusalem. From Nazareth to Jerusalem is about 90 miles walking. It's a long and tedious trip, but yet they went every year. It was summer, very hot day. They were walking. They were tired. They were thirsty. At a distance, a girl was drawing water from the well. And as this girl saw the Holy Family without knowing anything, She saw them from a distance. She was very moved. She took some water and brought to them. And Mary was so happy because Jesus was so tired and so thirsty. So this girl, without being asked, spontaneously expressed this kindness of giving water to the Holy Family. They had their break of the journey. They refreshed themselves. The girl disappeared from the scene. They walked along and went to Jerusalem. On their way, Mary asked Jesus, "Listen, Jesus, did you notice that girl? How sweet, how kind, and how nice the girl was. What are you going to give her?" Jesus looked at Mary and smiled and said, "I will give her a tough husband." This is the gift of charity. This is the gift of kindness and generosity. Mary was so surprised. She couldn't understand. How is it possible, Jesus, that you are going to give such a nice and gentle and compassionate girl a tough husband? Jesus looked at her and said again, "Yes, I will do that, because through her kindness, through her humility, through her compassion and generosity, her husband will be converted." My dear brothers and sisters, very often we think it would have been better to have someone else with us, at least at times. If the supreme authority of the church, that is the ecumenical council in session, had the courage to say that the Christian families are the domestic sanctuaries of the church, This is not just simply a newspaper statement. This is an inspired and authoritative statement of the Second Vatican Council. My dear friends, do you know what this statement really means? Do you understand what does it mean to say domestic sanctuary of the Church? Have you ever reflected on this wonderful reality of the sacrament of marriage that is not a human invention but a divine institution? Have you ever reflected enough and knew the words of the gospel, what God has joined, let no man separate? Man has no right to separate, neither the husband nor the wife has any right. God gives you the right to join together in life and for life in this world, in the holy sacrament of marriage. But God has not given the right to man or woman to separate what God has joined together. Mysterious as it is, the moment the consent is given and the moment that consent is blessed and sanctified, their bond is sealed for life. As it is sacred as the sacrament of the Eucharist, sin gives birth to sin. Abortion is a sin. Any sort of immoral behavior is a sin. Always remember that you are the domestic sanctuaries, the holy of holies. You cannot allow to permit any spot or defection in that sanctuary of God, which is your family. But even the sanctuaries need timely cleaning. Even sanctuaries can get dirty. And when it gets dirty, at the earliest, get it cleansed. So too it is possible that time and again problems, trials and doubts arise in your family life. The rain will fall, the flood will come, the wind will blow and buffet your family, your home. But allow not to fall. Build your families on love, on truth, on God, according to the teaching of the Holy Mother Church. I was traveling one day from Vancouver to Chicago by US Air, and they told us in the plane, security is our first priority. I looked up and smiled. Security is our first priority. I start reflecting, what is my first priority? And I came to the conclusion that my priority should be charity. When you form a family, charity should be your first priority. Charity, enduring love, undefeatable love. You know what that means? Undefeatable love means, no matter what you do to me, I will still love you. Undefeatable love. God's love cannot be defeated. It is eternal. What would happen to the church in 2000? God will be God. He is not going to be defeated by man. He will find ways and means. He will find simple and humble people to raise our church and stand on her feet. So charity should be charity should be our first priority. When you decide to form a family, let charity be your first priority. Let your love be sincere. Hate what is evil, hold on to what is good. Love never gives up. Love will never give up. Love never gives up. Love each other with mutual affection. Anticipate each other in showing respect. Rejoice in hope, says St. Paul. Endure in affliction, in trial. Persevere in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Do not pray evil. Do not repay evil for evil. And do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Do not allow yourself to be overcome by evil, but you conquer evil with good. Yes, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. My dear friends, there is so much darkness around, so much negativity, so much evil. But even in the midst of it all, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. When you come into a dark room, what are you looking for? The first thing, where is a switch? You are not going to curse the darkness. When the light comes, when the switch is on, that little act you have to do. In families, let you be the first one to put the switch of light, the light of love, the light of joy, light of peace, light of forgiveness. Let there be light and let it begin with me. And let you be the first one to light that candle of forgiveness in families. Let there be forgiveness and let it begin with me. Let there be forgiveness in society and let it begin with my family. Family, become what you are. If you read Familiaris Consortio of the Holy Father, speaks on family life so much. If you take the number 17, you find the statement, family, become what you are. You cannot become what you are if you do not know what it is. One lady came to me. I knew her as a young girl. She grew up and she got married. And then for some time she disappeared. And so one day she comes with great enthusiasm, is very, very happy. So I said, what happened? I haven't seen you for ages. Yeah, it's all done, it's all finished. What? It's all finished. She said, I am coming from the lawyer. What lawyer? She said, I gave the letter of separation because the priest told me it's all right. What? To separate from my husband. She is just 28 years old, expecting another baby. She has a girl of 5. And she said, I don't need my husband anymore. I can live all alone. I said, please sit down, we'll talk. I listened to her, why she wanted to separate. And then I asked her, do you pray together? Have you ever prayed together? Before you did that, deciding to go to the lawyer, to the court, whom did you consult? Whom did you consult? Why didn't you come to me before you went to the lawyer? No, I went to the priest. He told me it's all right. I'm sorry, I said. I'm sorry. So we talked. I said, have you ever said thank you, Jesus, for my husband? Again, the same story. She said, no. I said, I want you to come with your husband here in this room. And we made an appointment. He may not come, she said. No, he will come. You call him. And we prayed. And we thanked God together. So I told her, his name is Paolo and her name is Maria Pia. I told Maria Pia, let us pray. We prayed together. Don't say that. It is so simple as that to go to a lawyer, what God has joined you for all eternity. So simple as that to write a letter and say that I don't belong to him anymore. He's no more my husband. And that symbol as the sacrament that is sealed, blessed and sanctified. Don't take it that cheap. She says, nobody told me like that. Not even the priest. And I said, that's what I am telling you now. And so she went, both of them came up a week later, we talked. They are together now. They are together because I told them, you must pray together. Have you ever prayed together? I asked the boy, have you ever prayed? No, I don't. Start praying. The boy was very sad that she went away. She decided that way. I said, it is God has joined you. God has bound you together. You are called for all life, all your life together. And you and your children. And she was happy. Another one comes. Father, they came to our house for honeymoon. Wrong place to come. And so they said about the preparation, how they were being prepared, the priest, the lawyer, and the doctor. Okay. The priest told them about the sacrament of the matrimony. Very good. One talk before they got married. And then you know what the doctor said, if you want to do an abortion, preparing them for marriage, if you want to do an abortion, you have to do like this. The lawyer says, if you want to separate yourselves, you know, divorce. This is the kind of preparation they had. Preparing them for marriage. Preparing them for life. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are living in this kind of world, this is a holy city in Rome. These things are happening in Rome. The holy city. I am not telling lies. It's a truth. And so, we are living in a world with this kind of distorted way. Another one comes to me and says, I won't get married for 5 years. 5 years because we want to try and see whether it works or not. If it works, then we will renew it for 5 more years. We don't have trial marriages. Marriage is not something like that. The church doesn't teach. And we need basic catechism here of the sacrament of matrimony is for life. Now, I was giving a retreat to a group of men. And I told them the fourth day, tomorrow we are going to have the way of the cross. Please bring each one a small cross. And everybody the following day brought a cross. And one was not there and he said, he didn't bring his cross. He said, I brought my wife. He said, last 33 years I have been living with this cross. Father, if there is any way, please take this cross away from me. But don't think only wives are the cross for the husbands, but also the other way around. It is not only for the wives. It's both. You know what Jesus says? The yoke I put on you. My dear friends, husband and wives, listen carefully. The yoke that Jesus has put on you. Your husband is your yoke and your wife is your yoke for the husband. You know what happened, what he says? Come to me, all of you who are tired of carrying your heavy loads. I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to Jesus. That's what we are doing in the adoration. Go to him. When you have problems, when you have difficulties, go to Jesus. He will heal you. He will give you because he has given you that yoke of your husband or your wife. At times it's so demanding. Take the case of Monica. Her husband Patricius was a really heavy yoke and yet she carried it all the way through because she was not alone. She was carrying with Christ. The yoke he put on her was light. Now, I don't think I should go on, but a few more words and then I finish. You can see, we are speaking about mercy. I was in Los Angeles, and when I came to the house, I was out on the street, came back from Skid Row, I saw one man was standing with a knife, and a brother was talking, and I said, oh, here there is something. So I showed the sign to the brother and told him to go back, go up. And then I asked him, what happened? Oh, it's a long story, but I can't finish the story like that in words. He showed me the knife. So then I took him to the parlor. We sat down together. We started talking, and I asked him, please give me the knife. He said, no. No way. I want to have the life of that brother. It was not a personal thing, and yet he had some problem with somebody. And he found someone. And then I told him, after nothing works, no prayer, nothing worked. At the end I said, let's go and eat. He looked at me. What did he say? He asked me. I said, let us go and eat. You? Eating with me? I said, yes, why not? Here is a knife. He says, nobody ever invited him for a meal in his life, he said. And he could not believe that a man who is having a knife in his hand against you is inviting you to eat with. He could not believe that. He gave me the knife. We went to have the supper, the food, the meal. We ate together. You know what he did? After that, he went to the chapel, threw himself on the floor, and cried. Cried aloud, asking pardon from God. Forgiveness. My dear brothers and sisters, Christ is more than willing to forgive us. Why are we afraid to forgive each other? It is of no use, the gospel. You can offer sacrifices on the altar. And then, if you remember, when you are going to offer the sacrifice on the altar, and then you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering at the altar. Go first and reconcile with your brother or sister or your husband or wives, your children, and then come and offer sacrifice. That will be acceptable to God then. Jesus gave the last and definitive message. You know, one of the strongest moments of the preaching of Jesus, the pulpit of all pulpits, was the cross. The cross from where Jesus gave the last and definitive message. In that divine hour of reconciling man with God and God with man, through the blood of the Lamb, 2 out of the 7 last powerful and eternal words that transformed human life, the echo of which should resound in the ears of every Christian, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive her. Father, forgive him. For he does not know what he is doing. He does not know what he is saying. He does not know the way he is thinking. Forgive him. And to the thief then he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Forgive. Let the one who has not sinned cast the first stone. You know the story of the 8th chapter of John, where the woman was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus and told him, what shall we do? They knew what should be done. But Jesus said, looked at them and said, let the person who has not sinned be the first one to cast the stone. John says, one by one, beginning from the eldest, went away, dropped the stone automatically, went away. Jesus looked at and saw her sitting alone, and she said, where are those people? Did no one stone you? Did no one condemn you? No one, sir. Go and sin no more, nor do I condemn. Jesus did not come to condemn us, not to judge us, but to forgive us. And this forgiveness must be the heart of our families. Readiness to forgive. Humility. I say in quick. Holy, the word holy has 4 letters. H-O-L-Y. I was in the chapel in our house in São Paulo, Brazil. And before the Blessed Sacrament, I was praying, this word all the time came to me, holy. And then I started reflecting on the letters. And then first letter in that word holy is H, and that stands for humility. You will never be able to forgive if you are not humble. You will never become holy if you are not humble. Humility is the ground we must all become humble. Learn of me, Jesus says, because I am meek and humble of heart. Be humble. And only a humble heart can see God and forgive each other. And the next letter is O, means obedience. Obedience to God's will, obedience to your conscience. Read Gaudium Spes, number 16, there is a descriptive definition of conscience. It's the voice of God speaking to you. L means love, the twofold love, the vertical and the horizontal dimension of our life. Love God, love your neighbor. You cannot separate neither the one nor the other. Why? I had more difficulty to find what shall I do. And it says yearning. Yearning for God, the hunger of the human heart for God, the thirst for God. I must be thirsty for the living God. You know what St. Augustine speaks of humility? He says it is better to do an evil deed with humility than a good deed with pride. St. Stephen, the first martyr, prayed the same way as Jesus prayed. Pray the same way for your spouses. Forgive him, forgive her. Thank the Lord for choosing him, choosing her as your partner for life, to become holy, not by walking alone. From now on, you are no longer alone, but two are in one, two in one, because God has joined you. From now on, you can never ever imagine to be holy without your cross. If the cross was an absolute condicio sine qua non for Jesus to save the world, then your spouse from now on is an absolute for you and for your salvation. You are saviors and guardians of each other. What God has joined you in marriage, let nothing and nobody separates you from each other, neither yourself, nor the world, nor the devil. Family, become what you are. I conclude with this prayer of Cardinal Newman. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldest lead me on. I loved to choose and see my path, but now lead me on. I loved the garish day, and spite of fears, pride ruled my life and my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power hath blessed me, sure it still will lead me on. Over moor and fen, over crag and torrent still, the night is gone. And with the morn, those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while. God bless you all, and I am very grateful to listening to me and to my words. I came from Delhi, India, since I am in India for last 3 weeks. And I go back there because the work is not over yet. And on the 10th of December, I go back from Delhi to Rome. I will pray for you and I ask your prayers, because we all have a mission. My dear brothers and sisters, we have the same mission. It has to be realized in different ways and different forms, different places, different situations. We all have the same mission, the mission of Jesus entrusted to us. You are going to be with me for all my life. Every single day, you will be remembered in my prayer. And I do believe that you too will pray for us.